From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. I'm Chase Parm, and today is a little bit of Ole Miss sports and a Masters preview edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. We're going to talk with a longtime friend of mine, Ty Alashewski. He and I are business partners with Ole Miss sports about 13 years ago. He was a sports writer from several different publications covering Ole Miss and inside the state of Mississippi. He works for GM now. He's from Ann Arbor, Michigan originally, and he's gone home to the Detroit area. But we catch up. We talk about some stories from back our time together here in Oxford. And then now he does some golf picks. He does a podcast for different European Tour and PGA Tour events. So we're going to do some Masters preview stuff. We're going to talk some Ole Miss and more with him. And also on today's show, we're going to talk with Jessica Lynch of Visit Oxford as she gives a rundown on the Oxford Spring Pop-Up Edition that is going on. Plenty of different activities and events going on throughout the months of April and May as well, on a podcast brought to you every single day by the Oxford Exxon Highway 6 West in Oxford. You know about the SpeedPass Plus app. Take advantage of that. Download it. Use it. Earn points and save money with the Oxford Exxon. Get your lunch specials for $5.69, two sides, bread, 32-ounce drink. And maybe when you're pulling into the convenience store, you're doing it with a Ford from Clark Ford. That's Highway 25 South in Amory, 662-257-1900. Corey wants to be your car guy, wants to be your truck guy, and he will take care of you. You can also mention the podcast and get a discount when you do that and you finalize your vehicle purchase with Clark Ford. Ty, Jessica, and all other guests are on the Rafters Music and Food Hotline, Rafters on Square in Oxford. Going to be a big weekend, Ole Miss and Arkansas, so head on over to Rafters, take advantage of their food specials, their drink specials, just the vibe that is at downtown Oxford these days. So huge weekend, and check out Rafters for that. So without further ado, here's myself and Ty Alashewski. Ty Alashewski now joining us on the Rafters Music and Food Hotline. We're going to talk some Ole Miss. We're going to talk some Masters. Ty, good evening. We're recording this here on Tuesday night. Masters in a couple days. Ole Miss actually playing a baseball game right now as we're doing it. But you've been off in the private sector for a while. Ty and I were business partners about 13 years ago. We covered Ole Miss for, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years, maybe even longer than that, something along those lines. But you're back home in Michigan. How's things going?
Yeah, shoot, it's great to be with you, Chase. This kind of harks back to those green couch days, if I can pull one way out of the archives, back in the 2008, 2009 time when you and I would get in our coat and tie and we'd sit on that old green couch in my condo in Oxford and record YouTube shows about Ole Miss sports. I mean, we're kind of trendsetters if you think about it. You know, the original YouTube stars.
You know, Ty, that made our message board about 2 months ago, and everybody had a really big time with that. They went back and found a couple.
Oh, my gosh.
And I think it was Ben Garrett's fault. He pulled it up at baseball one night. Like, hey, has anybody not seen this? And I was like, oh, hell, here we go. And you know what? It's okay. It's all good.
I'm gonna have to go back and read those threads.
I went in and I started watching those videos and I was like, it's not good, but it's not as bad as I remembered. Like, it's okay,
right? So yeah, we produce some content.
Yeah, so you've been that for a while. You've covered high school sports, Ole Miss sports in Oxford. You're in Hattiesburg, or at least the that area a little bit in the Pine Belt. You've interned with USA Today back in the day, and then was with me at the DM. We'll start here because obviously you're an Ole Miss guy. I know it. Everybody else knows it, but let them get a kick out of your story. You're from Ann Arbor, Michigan, and you picked Ole Miss. Take us through how that happened back in the day.
Yep, I sure did. So it all starts with a video game back in either seventh or eighth grade, NCAA Game Breaker 1998 on the original PlayStation. So I'm a kid, as you mentioned, from Ann Arbor, Michigan. Grew up very much in the heart of Big Ten country. My family had football tickets to the University of Michigan my whole life. And I just was never a Big Ten guy. I always liked doing things different. And so I had a sleepover in seventh grade. Actually, my co-host on the podcast that I host, we were actually playing that game, NCAA Game Breaker, and he picked some random SEC team like I don't even know, like South Carolina, Auburn, just somebody out of the blue that he never played with. So I said, okay, I can get down with this. I've been kind of following the Mississippi State football team that year and, you know, the Dog Pound Rock with Jackie Sherrill, and they had some fun players. I said, I'll be Mississippi State. Let's make this a classic SEC matchup. So it must have been Auburn. That's what it was, SEC West. And Keith Jackson did the voiceover for that video game. So he comes on and he announces the matchup and just says, you know, welcome to the Deep South in Starkville, Mississippi. And something about the way that that rolled off his tongue and that monotone voice just struck a chord in me. Like, I just had to get to Mississippi somehow. It was so different than anything I ever knew. I just wanted to learn more about it, be a part of it. So I just fell head over heels in love with Mississippi State first, actually. I probably shouldn't be saying this on an Ole Miss podcast. The message boards are really going to come for me now. But we got a little bit deeper into it in high school. My dad made me a deal. I had kind of run into some issues with my grades. And he said, listen, you turn it around sophomore year, and I'll take you to the state of Mississippi. You know, we'll visit everything. We'll visit Mississippi State, Ole Miss, you know, Jackson, the coast, Delta, show you why nobody would want to live there or go to school there. Well, it completely backfired on my dad because he fell head over heels in love with Mississippi the moment we crossed state lines from Birmingham over into Tupelo. And it was everything I had imagined too. And so we got into the trip and, you know, we're heading back and my dad says, listen, you want to be a sports writer. You're a big journalism guy. Mississippi is a great literary state, but Mississippi State doesn't have a journalism program. And so if your mom and I are going to let you go out of state and we're going to let you go as far away as Mississippi, you know, you need to go somewhere that's got a journalism major. This is what you want to do. And Ole Miss has one. And we had visited campus and, you know, I loved it. Thought the Grove was tremendous and everything. So he said, I'll make you a deal. You can go out of state and you can go to school in Mississippi if it's Ole Miss. And I handshake deal in the car that day. I became a diehard Rebels fan. Rest is history.
Yeah, because you, if I think I'm right about this, you would get the Starkville Daily News in Michigan, right? It would like come in like weekly or something in the mail, like all bound together.
Yes. So way back in the day, before the internet was, you know, as prominent as it is, and certainly, you know, with sports pages and everything not catching up for several years there, I had actually I wrote a handwritten letter to the editor at the Starkville Daily News, and I said, is there any way that you would mail me a subscription of this every week? And he wrote back and said, you know, this is one of the craziest requests I've ever had. I'm not even sure if we can do this. He said, how about this? You buy a subscription and I will personally once a month take all the newspapers from that month, stuff them in a brown envelope and send them up to you. So I bought a subscription and for probably 6 or 7 months there, once a month, I get a big old brown envelope with all of that month's Starkville Daily News. And I just tear it open, run through every page. I loved it.
He did it every time.
Every time. He just kept sending it. And then eventually I think I didn't renew maybe after 6 months or a year or something, but every month.
That's hilarious. Yeah. What, you know, you've been with GM for a while now. What do you kind of miss the most from this life? I mean, what's the thing that kind of, you know, when you go, hey, I'm, cause it's gotta be nice to leave a game early if you want to. I mean, just the freedom of some hours in some lot of ways, but what is it that you kind of miss?
So I probably miss the camaraderie the most with people like you and, you know, being on the Ole Miss beat back in the day with Jeff Robertson, David Brandt, you know, even Scott Cassiola, Dan Wyke, a lot of those guys. I just miss being in media rooms with you guys. I miss all the fun that we had on the beat, you know, all the different coaches, the players we interacted with. I'll tell you one thing I don't miss, though, is I don't miss having to kind of hold all that in and not being able to be a fan. There was a period of time there when I left sports writing where it was hard for me to go to Ole Miss games. It was hard to go to baseball games. It was hard to go to football games because I had suppressed that fandom for so long to be a journalist, right? To be unbiased, to make sure I was fair in the way that I was writing my stories. And so it was kind of hard to turn it back on. And I was a little burnt out at that point. It was everything I had done every minute of every day of my life for so long. And I just needed a break from it. I wanted to get away from it. But I'll tell you what, coming back as a fan a couple of years later, it made it that much better. It made me remember how much I missed it, how much I love Ole Miss and everything about the school and the sports teams and the people. And it was cool coming back eventually.
You know, we're in it every day. I mean, in some ways, we kind of miss the forest from the trees. I mean, being where you are, what you're doing, what's sort of the impression you've gotten over the last year, the Lane Kiffin era, just the football program as it's trying to kind of go through a little bit of a resurgence? What have been sort of your takes from afar?
Yeah, I mean, I've been really impressed with what Lane Kiffin's been able to do in what's quite frankly a very difficult situation, right? Hard on every single coach to be going through a global pandemic like everyone has gone through the last year, but particularly hard on a new first-year head coach. They still haven't started back, you know, on-campus recruiting, as you're well aware. And to put together the class that he did this past year, the recruiting class that he did was just amazing in my eyes. The high-end talent, particularly on the defensive side of the ball that he brought in, gives me a lot of hope about the future. I mean, obviously, like most people, I was really excited about the offense last year. I loved the way he settled on Matt Corral as the quarterback, stuck with him, really game-planned around that. I'm interested to see what he does in year two, right? I mean, this is a big year. Of course, we're still dealing with a lot of the same challenges of the pandemic, those recruiting difficulties, et cetera. But I think this is really a big year for Lane Kiffin. Got to see some improvement already in year two on that defense. And then, you know, let's see how he replaces some of those playmakers on offense, like Elijah Moore coming out of the slot. Is Jonathan Mingo going to step up, one of those wide receivers? So I was very encouraged the first year. I bought in, you know, to the hype and a lot of the excitement. I'm excited for more.
You know, you can make the argument he had as tough of a recruiting deal as maybe any new coach, because he was going to recruit nationally or at least regionally or just go out and find him where he could find him. It wasn't going to rely on a lot of in-state talent. And, you know, unlike a guy who comes into a program and he at least had been in the league or the area before, or at least right before that, you've already got a lot of the relationships already built. You know, if you came from Alabama straight to Ole Miss, you know a lot of the same recruits. You've got relationships. But when you come from FAU, frankly, he had to rely on his staff a little bit. He had to rely on his name value, let's be honest. I mean, you could at least make the argument that given the way he wants to recruit, the pandemic was as hard on him as maybe any coach in the country.
I think so. And I think without the personality of Lane Kiffin, he doesn't have anywhere near the success that he did this past year on the recruiting trail. I think he hit it right on the nail right on the head. I mean, he had to be creative on Twitter, which he's always been good at. You know, I'm sure in some of those DMs, there was some creative wording there. He had to sell a place that he couldn't get people to come to. And now maybe that's where it was a bit easier for him than it was for most. You know, a lot of people at least know of Ole Miss, know of the beauty of the campus, the Grove, you know, the tradition of sports and everything. But he still had to get out there and sell in really unique, unconventional ways. And as you mentioned, you know, with the plan initially to be a national recruiter, and that's really tough. So all the more kudos to kind of what he did, what he's able to pull off in those circumstances.
How much queuing up with baseball these days? What do you think of Mike's beard?
I love Mike's beard. We were, I won't give away any secrets, but you and I were texting the other day and you were kind of giving me some background on what it's like covering Mike these days. And I don't know why I associate this with it, but I see that beard and I just see a more laid back Mike Bianco. I don't know why.
I think I told this story on the podcast. If not, people can hear it again. It was a few weeks ago and Ole Miss had lost to somebody. I guess it was maybe it was the Sunday ULM game. I don't remember which game it was, but they lose a game and, you know, everything's on Zoom. All we do is post-game on Zoom now. And Parrish couldn't get his microphone to work. And, like, he was struggling. And, I mean, it's like a 20-second gap. And, like, in my head, I'm going, God, the 2008 mic would have exploded. Like, we would have had a huge And instead, Mike, like, makes a joke to Nick Suss with the Clarion Ledger. He's like, hey, can you go over there and help Parrish and the old people with the mic? And he's kind of cutting up. And I was like, in all seriousness, that's something that never would have happened back in the day. And instead,
never. He
gets it's a marathon. Nothing's a sprint. It's a marathon. It's 56 games. Let's chill out. I mean, frankly, what they're dealing with right now with Tim Elko, I think he's in a better spot from a composure standpoint to lead his team through this than maybe he would have been back when you were covering the team.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, in those years when I was covering the team, you know, it felt like a lot of times Mike was just so tight on the weekends that it bled into a lot of his players' energy too. And I just haven't seen that. To be honest, I haven't kept up with Ole Miss baseball as much as I did, obviously, living there and covering the team and everything. But he just feels more relaxed and it feels like the team is more relaxed. So I love that for him. I love that for the guys. I think it's a really good mixture, and he's kind of found that secret sauce here the last few years, it seems.
Yeah, we're a long way from you and I getting yelled at in Minneapolis after they lost to Minnesota that day. He did apologize later, but, you know, we went through a complete blizzard on, you know, through God knows what to get there, and he laid into everybody after they lost that first game on that Saturday against
It was Andrew Clark's fault, man.
forgot about that.
Yeah, right. I kind of did too. I was actually thinking about that story, getting ready for this podcast, and that was the reason why I remembered that name. Certainly not the first time Mike had yelled at either one of us. Wouldn't be the last time either. But really, really, truly, you know, a genuine guy. One of the coaches I enjoyed covering most. Also, you know, a fellow Catholic. I would see him at St. John's in Oxford almost every Sunday. Always with a big handshake and a smile for me. I actually, when I graduated Ole Miss, my last baseball game I covered, I asked Mike if he would just kind of stick up around on the field with me for a few minutes after interviews. And I just told him, you know, how much it meant, you know, as a young reporter, kind of the access that he gave to us and how he, you know, really helped my career again with a lot of that access and a lot of what we were able to do. And it was the most human moment I had seen in Mike to that point, because he had kind of let the guard down, brought down the shield. We were the microphones were off and everything. And he just said, "Ty, if you ever need a job reference, you call me. I will tell them that you are the one to hire and there is no other option." And that just meant so much to me.
Oh, let's jump into some golf. It's one of the reasons I brought you on to today. I guess first, everybody, you're doing a little bit of golf analysis this day. You're doing some golf picks every week. You've got an interest in the Euro Tour. Where can folks find that if they have an interest?
Yeah, I appreciate it. So we've got a golf tips and picks podcast that is for both the PGA Tour as well as the European Tour. The podcast is called Right Click Print Money. We are on iTunes. We're on Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts. We've got a YouTube channel as well. And we're just having a lot of fun with it. You know, I kind of had that itch. Like I said, I've been out of sports writing now. As crazy as this is, it is now my 11th year away from full-time sports writing. And as you mentioned, you know, I've done some freelance work here and there, covered some high school stuff. But it was a long time. And I was kind of needing to scratch that itch. And my wife, you know, was completely supportive of it. She said, you know, I know you love golf. You love to write. This is something you're really passionate about. You should go for it. And so we had our first child in November and had some downtime in December. And then again, back in February, going on paternity leave. And so I got with a couple buddies who are also, you know, just as passionate about the game. And I said, I think we can do this. You know, let's get on here. Let's try and pick some winners and see where it goes. And we just came out of the gates on fire in 2021. We've picked 6 outright winners so far and a first round leader. And we're just having a bunch of fun with it. You know, tips and picks for free. We've got a Twitter handle as well, @RightClickPicks, where we actually post a link to our open spreadsheet that shows all of our tips and picks for the year and how we're doing, you know, total units up or down. So we're trying to have some fun with it.
So I would assume that it's probably a fair thing to say more money's gambled, or at least picks or fantasy on the Masters and Augusta and anything else. You know, there's a certain – I was talking to Neil about this on our show today about, you know, in November, even though we got the Masters and we got a tournament, because it wasn't in the spring and it wasn't renewal and everything was kind of coming out of the pandemic a little bit, it didn't have the same feel. I think in some ways I'm excited for this week simply because that unique feel that you get from Augusta – we've been really away from that for 2 years now. We didn't get that in 2020. So I think this one's going to have that type of, you know, emotion, aura around it, whatever you want to call it. This one means something to me a little bit as we go into 2021.
I'm right there with you. And I think you can hear it in the players' voices and see it on their faces too, as we're watching some of the coverage leading up to the Masters tournament this week in the press room. I mean, just the fans being back in some capacity on the grounds of Augusta National makes it a completely different golf course. And don't get me wrong, I loved a November Masters just for the sheer you know, the sheer fact that we had never seen anything like it before. I enjoyed having golf on a football weekend. I really enjoyed how much we were able to see of the course with no fans. You know, you forget sometimes how rolling Augusta really is, that hilly terrain. And it was neat to see all that, but I'm right there with you. You know, the Masters is meant to be played in April amongst the azaleas. Feels like we've been away for a long time. It's nice to see those gates to Magnolia Lane open again in April.
Picking the favorite in a golf tournament is never really the way to go, because you don't get good odds on it. It makes no sense. But please talk me out of why we shouldn't just load up on Dustin Johnson and see what happens this week.
So here's the thing. If you tell me that I can have the big six and you're going to take the field, I'll make that bet all day and I'll give you better odds. I'll give you -150 on that, honestly. And I'm not typically a guy that picks favorites. Kind of my shtick on the podcast and with the two guys I co-host with, is I'm a long shot guy. I hit a 70-1 winner with Max Homa at the Genesis Invitational back in in March, I guess it was February, maybe late February, March. And so I like to take those long shots. I look down the board, and my big thing is finding value. And you almost can never find value at the top of a betting board in a golf tournament. But one of the great exceptions is the Masters. I mean, again, that big six of DJ, Bryson, Justin Thomas, John Rahm, Jordan Spieth, and Rory McIlroy. If you give me those six, I think the winner's probably coming out of it. I don't know that it's going to be Dustin Johnson. You know, his game is not in the same form as it was when he came into the Masters in November. But I think, you know, again, I'm probably not willing to go there because the numbers are so short. I mean, I'm just looking here on odds checkers, and the best numbers available right now on DJ are plus 950. So he's not going to make my final card. But again, you told me you're taking any one of those big six, and I'd say that's probably a good bet that's got a chance to win.
Let's do it like that. Let that then. Let's take the big six. How do you sort of rank or order those guys in likelihood to win? Because, you know, I know that the odds have come down. I mean, everybody was really excited, frankly, for golf as much as for him, for Jordan Spieth to win the Valero last week and just kind of get back in it, because he's not Tiger. He's not the needle. But golf's more interesting when Jordan Spieth's good. There's no doubt about that. He does elevate the game in a lot of ways.
He really does. He's a great personality. I mean, and I think one of the reasons that fans gravitate to Jordan Spieth so much is because he's so open. He doesn't hide anything, kind of lets it all hang out there. I mean, the running commentary that he and caddy Michael Grello have is just incredible on the golf course. And that in itself is entertainment value worth watching. But I fully agree. When Jordan Spieth is playing well, golf is better. The fans get into it. I was so happy to see him win the Valero Texas Open last week. Now, I was disappointed because I had tipped Charlie Hoffman at 35-1, and that would have been my second consecutive outright winner after Joel Damon 2 weeks prior at Corrales. But my two co-hosts had tipped Spieth, and they both won, so I was happy for them. But listen, I mean, his irons are back. That was the biggest thing with Jordan. The driver's always kind of been squirrely, but when he lost those irons, he was just a lost golfer. And the fact that he's got them again, you know, he poured in every important putt on Sunday at Texas, always been phenomenal around the greens. And Augusta's his happy place. I think he is very live as part of that big six.
Yeah, you know what's funny about it is everybody goes, oh, he's the best putter in the world. He's always been a very clutch putter. He's made putts when he had to make them.
Right.
But it's the iron play. I mean, it's not the putting. I mean, Jordan really hasn't changed from a putting standpoint throughout his slump or his resurgence or anything other. It's all about how he's hitting the irons. And I think so. I do wonder a little bit what winning the week before, when you haven't won since 17, does to you emotionally, mentally, just exhaustion level, kind of if that does play a role in a negative way for him as the week moves on through Augusta. But I think I'm with you. I'm not ready to rule him out by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, frankly, the way the game's trending right now, if I had won as badly as I want him to win it, it's Rory. I just don't see it this week as they move in.
Yeah. Here's the reason why I'm interested in Rory this week. First of all, his odds have crashed. He's at 19-1 most places
Which
right
is
now. And so again, insane for the best golfer on the planet 2 years ago. Yeah. It kind of has the same feeling of Justin Thomas prior to the Players. I mean, he was 20-1 before that tournament kicked off. And that's just a number that should never be out there, right? Like, that's an auto bet because you don't get 20s, 19s, 20s on golfers of that caliber. So the fact that Rory has slid down that far makes him very attractive. If he dips into the 20s, you know, 20, 22-1 or so, that's going to be an auto bet for me this week as well. But here's the big reason with Rory why I'm excited for this week is the pressure is off because nobody is talking about Rory. Everybody's really talking about the other five in that big six and even some guys, you know, who played well in the match play, etc. But the storylines really haven't been there for Rory, and I think that's good for him. The pressure's off. He's also working with Pete Cowan now, a renowned, you know, former English professional golfer who's a great swing coach, has worked with seven previous major champions. So I think Rory's got some appeal this week.
So who do you not like out of the big six?
All right, so here's – if you're telling me that I can pick half the big six, how about that? Because that's probably where my card is going to wind up this week. If I'm taking three of those six, I'm going Bryson DeChambeau right off the top. 12-1 most places, 11-1 some. But here's the thing. He's the only two-time winner on tour in the 2021 season. He also plays very well on hard courses, which the Masters is. And more than anything, you know, he's a brilliant dude and he's not going to be stymied for very long. He was absolutely crushed and stymied by the Masters in November. I mean, he brought his Big Stick and that approach to Augusta, talking about it playing as a par 67 for him, and that course just ate him alive. He went right back to the lab and fixed all that immediately, and he is just cut from the cloth that a golfer needs to be to win at Augusta. He is long off the tee. His irons are white hot right now, and he is great with the distance to apex, which is kind of a funny stat, but it basically talks, as you know about how high your ball flight is, and it's really important at a place like Augusta where those bent grass greens are probably going to roll up to 14 on the stimp meter. So you got to bring that ball in high, land it soft, or you're just going all over the place. So Bryson, give me one as the big three. Justin Thomas, number two, a guy again whose irons and approach game is as good as anyone in the world right now. He's third in strokes gained on approach, 14th around the green, also coming in with a great course history at Augusta. He was 39th on debut, but has since then gone 22nd, 17th, 12th, and then fourth in the fall. So give me Bryson, give me JT, and then the last of the big six, I'm taking half of them. I'm gonna go with John Rahm. Got the baby out of the way. I think that was the big concern, because you don't want to place a bet on John Rahm Wednesday, have him start the tournament Thursday, baby comes and he withdraws. Baby came, baby and Kelly are healthy. So I think he's in a great frame of mind. He's going to actually be getting good night's sleep, which, as you know, doesn't happen to new parents, because he'll be away from baby and wife in Augusta. But again, you know, just comes in on an absolute heater, 7 top tens in his last 9 overall. He has 3 straight top tens at Augusta. Another player who's long off the tee, great with approach, great in greens and regulation, and also hits a pretty high ball. So I'll go those three. I'll go Rahm, Bryson, and JT out of the big six.
Out of the big six, I know the odds aren't great. It's not a crazy long shot, but I'm really high on Xander Schauffele this week. I'm all about Schauffele this week, the iron play. And then something that I hadn't thought about as much, Justin Ray mentioned it on Twitter a couple nights ago, was how good he is on uneven lies. And in Augusta, you never have a flat course, you never have any lies, but he's played well at Kapalua. He's played where at different places where you're never going to have a driving range type of approach shot. Everything is going to be up or down or sideways. The iron play is always there. He's not putted well at Augusta, but I do think Augusta is one of those places where you get better. Every time you go back from a putting standpoint, you're going to learn it. You're going to take stuff with you. So if you told me that over the next 3 Masters, Xander Schauffele won one, I wouldn't be at all surprised.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think that's another great pick this week. The last time the Masters was played in April 2 years ago, he finished 2nd, came back a little bit in the fall for 17th, but he's got, you know, good course history now at Augusta. Current form leaves a bit to be desired, but he's one of those players where he's live just about every single week, unless it's a really funky course that just doesn't match up well for him, like his home course at Torrey Pines, strangely enough.
So where are we going down the list here? What do you got that's not one of the big six, not one of the top dogs?
All right, so I'm going to give you one that's not too far down the list, but it may still blow your mind a little bit. I'm on Brooks Koepka big this week. What do you think about that?
The form is just so here's why I'm kind of going with you. I'm not going to pick him. I'm not going to put money on it. But he chirped on Twitter the other day. He got all annoyed when somebody – he found that chip on his shoulder this week again. Brooks has got to have the chip. He's got to find it, and he found it. So, look, the game fits. I mean, it's like all the long hitters. I mean, you can bomb and gouge Augusta because there's no rub. You hit it wherever, then you hit it on the green, and you go from there. I get it. The injuries, the form, and everything else, though, I just don't know that I can quite jump on it this week as we go. But credit to you if you want to go down that road.
So there's an old saying in golf, beware the injured golfer. And I think that is very applicable to Brooks Koepka this week for a lot of the reasons you just mentioned, you know, the chip on the shoulder. By all accounts, his swing looks really good in Augusta this week. He's gotten out and played a few abbreviated practice rounds, seen him on the range, kind of around the greens, et cetera. Everything seems to be clicking. And as you mentioned, game perfectly suited for Augusta, long enough off the tee, peppers the greens on approach, very high ball flight. As I mentioned, you know, at the beginning, I look for value when I'm giving out my tips and my picks each week in the golf tournaments. And right now, Brooks Koepka on points bet is 30-1 to win the Masters. Now, he may hit a tee shot and an iron and walk off on Thursday, and that be it, because, you know, he's not fully recovered from that dislocated kneecap and the torn ligaments. But it's, again, it's Justin Thomas at the Players at 20-1. We're not going to get another 30-1 on Brooks Koepka in a major, particularly for one of the greatest players in majors of all time. So I like him there. If I'm going a bit further down the board, I like Webb Simpson at 40-1, past major champion. He won the 2012 U.S. Open out of the Olympic Club in San Francisco, steadily improved at the Masters each year. His last three starts, he's got a top 20 and two top 10s, including a T10 in the fall. He's a player whose game you wouldn't normally think would set up well for Augusta, but he's actually one of those players who's added a little length recently off the tee. And let me throw this at you as a comp. Zach Johnson in 2007 won the Masters in 2007. It was a particularly cold week, and so Augusta played even longer than it normally does. And Zach Johnson won the Masters by laying up on every single par five and just being completely dialed in with his wedges and catching a hot putter. That's a recipe for success for Webb Simpson for me. Don't lose strokes off the tee. Find your irons enough. Be magical around the greens as he always is, and you catch that white hot putter. I think 40-1 is a nice number on Webb.
It's the Patrick Reed formula. I mean, he won the Masters because he was great on the greens. He made every putt, and he chipped effectively, and he did just enough from a link standpoint. But with Webb, look, I'd like to see Webb win. Like, I know everybody else finds him boring. I find him interesting, the way he has the bag set up, the whole deal. I kind of like him. But I have a hard time picking somebody at Augusta who literally is going to be hitting hybrids into all these greens. I mean, he's hitting seven woods into greens at Augusta. Like, I just – mentally, that's a hard time to compute.
Yeah, and I mean, you're right. Like, this is going to be a much different course than we saw in the fall. It's going to be firm and fast. I saw a few pictures floating around on Twitter today where the greens almost had like a purple hue to them. And the reason why is because those things are burnt and getting crispy. I mean, those balls are going to – it's going to be every bit of 14 on the stimp. And I agree, you know, bringing those hybrids in on long shots like that, it's going to be tough. But – again, value at 40-1 checks a lot of the other boxes for me, so I don't mind Webb.
Is there anybody or other people are on that you're completely off this week?
I've boiled it down in all my research. You know, of the 88 players in the field, I've got it down to about 20 golfers that I believe can win this week. Let me give you a few of the names that are not on my list. Colin Morikawa, not on my list. His putting is not going to do it at Augusta. Patrick Reed, not on my list, only because of the current form. I worry about him in this field. Victor Hovland, not on my list. Matt Fitzpatrick, I've seen him become a bit of a trendy pick here. Again, further down the odds boards. Hasn't won in the – what's that?
He's 60-1.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's a good number on Matt Fitzpatrick. That's got me interested a little bit, but I don't – having not won in the States yet, that first one's not going to come at Augusta. I'm totally off Hideki. I know that the iron play is good. That putter is pathetic. I mean, his best surface is in Bermuda – excuse me, on Bermuda. If he was going to win a Masters, it would have been in the fall when you had that heavy rye overseed and a lot more – they shaved down the Bermuda, but a lot more of it came through in the greens than we normally see with that bent grass. Hideki ain't winning it. But that's probably it. I mean, I'm mostly aligned with a lot of the rest of golf Twitter on who we're backing this week, I think.
What are we doing? Because it's the number one sleeper that I've seen from everybody trying to take trendy picks on. What are we doing with Cam Smith at 35-1?
That number is too low. I love Cam Smith. I love Cam Smith. You know, if I had gotten him at 50 or 60-1, you know, 2 months ago, then I think he's perfect at that number for Augusta. I'm just not willing to pay down to 35, 40-1 for Cam Smith. I think he's very live. I mean, there's three players who have two top five finishes in the past three Masters. He's one of them, along with Dustin Johnson and Rory McIlroy. So he can play, right? He's a gamer. He steps up on the big stages. We've seen it at a lot of the tough courses, you know, through the Florida Swing, he had a little bit of success there, but it's for me, it's there's just no value in that number for Cam Smith, so I'm staying off this week.
So last couple things, are you picking you're picking DeChambeau, it sounds like? Is that if you had to pick
I'm
one?
I'm picking DeChambeau.
Okay. Yep.
If I had $100 to put on one golfer this week, Bryson DeChambeau. JT's a close second, but it's Bryson.
So you think he has adapted more than that strategy is just going to work?
I think so. I think he has adapted. I think I think what we saw from him in those two wins this year is understanding more about his limitations. And I think that he was humbled by Augusta. Again, all that big talk about it being a par 67 for him, and then he almost misses the cut, you know, needs to really rally, though. I think it was the birdie on 18 or maybe the par on 18 that saved him, got him to the weekend. I think Bryson goes back and tweaks all that. He's no longer toying around with the idea of the 48-inch driver. Like, he understands when to pull that out. For me, I mean, he's number one in distance off the tee and in accuracy. So obviously that leads to number one strokes gained off the tee. And listen, I'm not one of the guys who is just, you know, a total Augusta's bomb and gouge and nothing else. I really think it's a second shot course, to be perfectly honest, because those greens, they're basically tour average in size, but the different tiers, the undulations, the fact that you got to leave it below the hole, it's a second shot course. Those wedges, those irons, excuse me, and the wedges too, really need to be dialed in. And with Bryson's wedges just white hot, I think he realizes that he doesn't have to try and cut every corner, go over every tree line. You know, just do what you're doing, put it out there long and far, let those irons do the work. I think he's a hell of a play.
So the average golf fan, the person who just watches the Masters that stuck with us through this entire thing, but it's not necessarily betting on it. what's the one or two things to just watch for this weekend? What's the enjoyment of just kind of casually watching this tournament? What do you expect to see? Is it gonna look like most every other April Masters, or is there a couple things that you think maybe are a little different this time around?
You know, it's gonna still be a little different without full capacity of fans coming back. But the fact that we do have some, you know, we're going to get a few roars, those famous roars through the tall Georgia pines around Amen Corner, 11, 12, 13. So that's going to be a lot of fun, I think, just to kind of see, feel, hear that energy from the fans. By all accounts, you know, the azaleas are in full bloom, which, as we talked about earlier, you know, it's very different from what we saw in November. So it's going to be a lot of fun. There's always a good story somewhere in the Masters. Somebody's going to rise up. You know, Lee Westwood has given us some great storylines here the last couple of weeks, kind of the resurgence into his late 40s. You know, I'm interested to see if one of the debutants, like a Bob McIntyre from Scotland, or possibly a Will Zalatoris, can make some noise. I don't think a debutant's going to win. Hasn't since Fuzzy Zeller, I think in the 70s it was. But I'm interested to see kind of some of those younger guys getting their first taste of Augusta and what they're going to do. I'm just excited that it's a traditional Masters back in April.
Well, I appreciate it, bud. Good luck with your preview show. I know you got it coming up here in a few minutes. You get going, and let's do it again.
Yeah, hey, I really appreciate you having me on. We're going to get over there and do the full Masters preview. So if you're interested in hearing it, again, it's the Right Click Print Money podcast. We're at Right Click Picks on Twitter. Having a lot of fun with the golf tips and picks this year. And hey, anytime you need somebody to come on and handicap a PGA event for you, a European tour, give me a shout. This was fun.
Thanks to Ty for joining us on the show, talking a little golf, talking some Ole Miss. Really good to catch up with him. We're going to jump back now to the phone as well with Visit Oxford's partnership manager Jessica Lynch. As again, we talk about plenty of activities going on in April and May, as there's no double decker, but plenty to do here locally in Oxford. Here's Jessica. Jessica Lynch with Visit Oxford now joining us. Jessica, it's time for a spring edition pop-up here as we were getting into April a little bit. And something a little different this year. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing lovely. It's weather's good. Spring is in the air, if you will, a little bit, as we are getting close to, I know, what was originally the double-decker dates. We'll get into kind of what you guys are able to do from a creative standpoint to replace that, as well as more things going on during April and May. But first, a little more time-sensitive. You're in the finals of the Strongest Town bracket. Oxford facing Lockport, Illinois. You beat Bentonville, close to the home of the University of Arkansas, in the semifinals. And then now Lockport. I was talking to you guys about it before we started, not just a popularity contest, a little more to this one as you move through the rounds.
Yeah, it's a little more in depth than that. There were three rounds. We had written answers, some photo essays, podcast interviews, and then the overall voting contest that people were able to go online and vote in. And so it's one of those things that we're really excited about to be a part of, and especially down to the last two. So we want to encourage, you know, voting through our link will be posted either on Facebook and or Twitter that you can go and take a look at that. And then voting closes at noon this Thursday. So just a couple of days to get some voting in.
Yeah. And that's it. On Twitter, that's Visit Oxford MS. You can find it Visit Oxford on the Facebook page. If anybody who's voted, yeah, I'm assuming it follows kind of the same thing there. You know, how did you sort of originally get into the bracket? How does that sort of work? And then from the standpoint of, you know, a lot of work for the city goes into this too. I mean, something that you guys have really embraced all the way around kind of city management.
Yeah, so works with our city department, Ben Riquette and our planning department, along with Mayor Tannehill and then John Maynard over at Chamber EDF, to get kind of the ball rolling to be a part of this, and then just progressively pushing and promoting throughout the course of the event. Throughout those, you know, being featured on the podcast with the interviews, what our town has to offer, why you would want to be here, and just the revitalization that we've had over Oxford and how it's grown just in the past 10 years.
The way the last year has been with the weather, with the temperatures and everything else, has it felt a little more normal around here the last few weeks? I mean, it seems like just town in general sort of moving in a pretty good direction right now.
It has. It's felt a little more normal and open with that. We were unable to have our bus tours in the fall, so that was something that we were really excited about, you know, to start. And we had our first one on March 19th, and we are still doing half capacity for those. So that's 32 people for a 3 o'clock and a 4 o'clock tour, but both of those were completely filled at the maximum 32. So that was encouraging to see that people are still interested in getting out, seeing what we have to offer and being a part of it.
And then those will be this week as well. Ole Miss returning home for baseball to face Arkansas. So bus tours, 3 and 4 o'clock on Friday, and continuing. It's every home baseball series and then also graduation, right? Those are the dates.
It's for our SEC weekends, yeah. So we'll have this weekend, the 9th. We'll have the 23rd, the 30th, as we have South Carolina for baseball. And then our graduation weekend of the 7th on that Friday and the 14th. For Vandy weekend.
And that's something still, how do people register for that? Do they show up? What do they do?
They will need to call our office for reservation, 662-232-2477. They can send a DM through Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, or if they want to send an email, they can send it to tourism@visitoxfordms.com.
So this weekend, as well, we'll do that. Then I want to talk about the pop-up stuff a pretty good bit. You got Tunes Around Town coming back as well?
We do. We have this weekend, 5 to 7 on Saturday night. And those locations are the Spring Street Cigars. We have our front lawn at Visit Oxford, the new North Lamar Pocket Park. And then the last location is Fowler Breezeway at Oxford Square North will be the other location. And our musicians that we have for this weekend are really fun. We're going to be actually adding some bios on our event page for those musicians. So be on the lookout for that on our Facebook page.
Something that kind of came about during the kind of the heart of the pandemic, people walk around, get some things around the square, still kind of get the vibe as well as the social distancing that was required at the time. Is it one of those deals, though, where you feel like, I mean, is there potentially a place for this moving forward and, you know, whatever? I mean, is it, you feel like it's been received pretty well?
Yeah, I think so. It kind of goes in line with our Summer Sunset series that we do on Sundays in the Grove. Just an opportunity to get out and enjoy some music. Most all of our musicians are local, and so just giving them that opportunity, especially with, you know, some of the bars still not completely open or to where they feel comfortable. We wanted to give an option for people to be outside, still be able to social distance and enjoy some music.
So pop-up Oxford Spring Edition here coming very, very soon, April 22nd. I guess technically a kickoff, Ole Miss baseball playing LSU that night, and then increasing into a pretty big weekend over the 23rd and 24th. Something you guys do other times of the year, but what sort of made it logical and good for the spring?
Well, we've done pop-up Oxford in January, just during, you know, a non-peak season per se for us, to create events to draw people to town. During January, we have like a Martin Luther King Day celebration. We also have a Fiber Arts Festival. So we took what we learned from that event in January and wanted to do a spring edition. With that, we knew after the decision was made to not hold double-decker in its normal form, we shifted our focus to see how we could still provide opportunities for not only our vendors, but also some musicians to be able to still take part in a big weekend around Ole Miss baseball coming in town.
So especially, yeah, again, with April 23rd, 24th, the big dates for this, kind of take me through some of the events for that weekend.
Yeah, so we're still going to have our bus tours, as we talked about a little bit earlier, at 3 and 4 for those. Again, call for the reservations. But we're also going to have a balcony concert on that Friday at the end of All Music. And we did a couple of these in the fall, and they were very well received, just being able to kind of hang out, get a little vibe coming from end of All Music. And on that Friday, it will be Dent May performing. So excited to have him back in town. And then on Friday, we're going to have some art vendors set up on the square. So they'll be in the alley that's actually beside us, the Bowles Wiley Alley, from noon until 5. And then on Saturday from 10 until 5 in our alley, but also on Monroe behind FNB Bank. And that opportunity was given to art vendors that have participated in Double Decker in the previous years and were juried and selected. Okay. And so Leanne Stubbs, our Double Decker coordinator, reached out to all those art vendors and, you know, kind of got an interest level of, if this is something that you would want to participate in. And so the invitation was sent to those people that normally would have come for that weekend for Double Decker, but they were excited to have a pop-up event and be a part of that weekend.
Obviously, no big deal if not, but any guess on number of participants from an art vendor standpoint for that?
I think we're going to have around 8 to 10 around our area, and then behind F&B on that Saturday, close to 24, I think. So we're looking for a good crowd, and especially since, you know, it'll be a big baseball weekend with the Grove Bowl on Saturday, and then also the Chamber hosting the Red Blue Races Square on Saturday. We're forecasting that there's going to be several people in town.
That Thursday night, also when they're retiring Don Kessinger's number at Swayze Field for the opener to that Ole Miss and LSU series. Yeah, you mentioned it. I guess a little bit different name, but any runners, anyone who particularly would do the double-decker races, the red and blue is happening this weekend as well.
Mm-hmm. So. It is. And I mentioned music and kind of the end of All Music balcony concert on Friday, but also on Friday in the Blue Delta Blues Alley, they're going to have music from 4 to 8 on that Friday. So we'll have on the north side of the square, and then kind of on the south side as well. And then on Saturday in the Blue Delta Blues Alley, it'll be from 2 to 6, the music down there as well.
All on the whole, it does have a kind of a mini double-decker feel to it. You're able to put some music, some vendors, some different people in different places there for that.
Yeah, trying to spread the love around and, you know, making sure that people still are able to have something to come out and take part in.
I know it's going to go kind of into May. You got a lot of events coming up and whatnot, but it's kind of every weekend you're able to kind of provide something here over the course of the next couple of months, right?
We're trying to do that. And with that, you know, just spreading it out, like we've talked about the bus tours, that's been huge, because I feel like as a visitor coming in town, you want to see the town from a different perspective, and walking around versus taking the bus tour is completely different. And so being able to offer those again is really, really awesome. And so, like I mentioned, we're going to have those for the graduation weekends and then the next weekend for Bandy Series. Also on graduation weekends, we will have art vendors set up on those Saturdays in our alley, and 8 to 10 vendors both of those days as well. So you may see some of the same artists.
That's what I was going to ask.
There may be some that vary just depending on their schedule. And so we did offer that opportunity to them if they wanted to participate in more than one weekend and there was availability, that would definitely be an option for them to take part in.
Do the bus tours take the summer off, or are there options prior to football season? What does it look like once the spring is done, or these baseball weekends are done?
So for the bus tours, they are after the spring. They can be privately booked.
Okay.
So if you wanted a bus tour, we've had done them for family reunions. We've done them for wedding parties if they have a rehearsal dinner and family from out of town prior to that. Rehearsal dinner, then they're able to get a tour guide that takes them, you know, around the campus and around the square to take part in. And then when we gear back up in the fall during football season, we have those every Friday for football games.
Right, of course. You mentioned Tunes Around Town, that also coming out May 1st and May 8th. So a lot of opportunities for that coming up, not just that one weekend during Grove Bowl weekend.
Correct, exactly.
So let's jump into May a little bit. I know a couple of different things that you had some interest in, or not you, you have interest in everything because you're going to visit Oxford. But nonetheless, Destination Oxford, doing a car show in early May. There's a bike ride involved as well. So some different things that, you know, again, just some extra events, some extra ideas for people coming in from out of town, or obviously people local as well.
Yeah, so our car show, we're excited to be able to host that again. Had really great success with it, and some of the participants of it come from all over the Southeast. So being able to host them on that weekend of the 15th. And then the bike ride you mentioned is the Velvet Ditch Grand Fondo. And this will be the first year for it. Several of the committee members were a part of the double-decker ride in years past, and so kind of wanted to revisit that and look at a weekend that they could bring people in town so they could fully experience Oxford. It will start over by the Oxford Middle School on Bramlett and ride out towards Sardis. There's a 20, a 40, and a 70-mile option for that.
Something for everybody there, getting up to 70. It's a little more hardcore, right?
Yes, very true, very true. 20, 45, and 70.
Okay.
That you're able to take part in, but yeah, it's one of those that if you can go online to check it out and see the actual route that you will be taking during those rides.
And if you're interested in the car show, registration, $30 one car, $20 for each additional one as well for that one. You have brochures here in the office if anybody has any interest as well.
We do for the bike ride or the car show. We have brochures here.
As well as the pop-up.
As well as the pop-up Oxford Spring Edition. We try to house everything in one place so that we can make sure and spread the love all around, because, we try to keep everything on the calendar and ongoing, and as things literally pop up, then we're adding them to our online calendar and through all of our social outlets.
And again, you can, there'll be links to the Strongest Town on the social media pages, that is correct, on all those?
Correct.
So I guess just on the whole, I mean, you got a big schedule here. You got a big schedule in early May as well. Pretty satisfied with the number of options, the different things that you guys are able to provide as the spring comes here, and again, in kind of in lieu of the traditional double decker format.
I think so. Especially we hosted Holly Jolly Holidays in December, and that was something really great for us to be able to offer. And during that time, we're still under state and local guidelines for social distancing and capacity numbers, but we were able to host that outside and, in our eyes, pull off a successful event to be able to provide a little bit of happiness and cheer for things that are normally would be a little bit more fun. But, we still felt that was very much enjoyable. And so we took what we learned from that, as I mentioned, from Pop-Up Oxford in January, and then kind of started looking at our spring and what that would look like, and to where there was something for everybody, whether it be music, whether it be arts, and then tying all that in together.
Obviously, baseball against Arkansas, a huge thing this weekend, as well as the bus tours, the tunes around town, and then starting April 22nd for a complete list of events. You get that at popupoxfordms.com. So thanks for the time today.
Thank you.
Thanks to both Ty and Jessica for their time on this edition of the show. Neil and I taped a podcast today as well, so a lot of offerings here from MPW Digital. And to kind of close the week from a podcast standpoint, we'll have plenty of coverage of Ole Miss and Arkansas this weekend from Oxford. Spring football practice is open on Saturday. We'll get a time to you when we can. That'll be on the message board and all social media for that time. Then we'll be back on Monday. So hope you join us. In the meantime, have a good weekend. Take care and be safe.